Welcome to Alt Universe Top 40. My name is John McMullen. For the next hour, we will listen to some records, talk about chart positions, and make some good-hearted adjustments that time and taste demand. On today's installment, we will hear a new wave rock classic that hit number one in England, but only managed to scrape its way up to number 74 in the United States. For our little slice of heaven at number seven, we will appreciate an amazing rockabilly record by an artist that died over 40 years ago. While his single never quite made it as a pop hit, it continues to live on, sounding better now than many actual top tens of its time. Later, we will listen to a fine piece of playing by a blues guitarist whose entire acceptance speech upon his induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame consisted of exactly 11 words. Finally, for our Hall of Perfection track, we will present a number one record that describes things that, over the years, have made people feel cursed or unlucky. You will not believe how many weeks this record spent in the top 40. But first, just as we do every week, we begin with a single that was at some point perched at number 40. Some of these were on the way up, some were on the way down. Some hit number 40 for a one-week peak and then were taken away. What kind of number 40 do we have today? Well, we start with a song that was written by a hard rocker who was remembering hearing his Juilliard-trained father playing classical music on the piano. The song was recorded by that hard rocker's Boston-based band for their debut album back in 1973. Columbia Records released the song in an edited version, taking the time from 4:26 to 3:25 by eliminating the instrumental break after the first verse and cutting straight to a chorus. While that first release was a huge success in the Northeast, it only reached number 59 on the Billboard Hot 100. Columbia tried again with the song in 1976, releasing promotional records to radio stations with the edit on one side and the full album version on the other.
Every time that I look in the mirror, all these lines in my face getting clearer. The past is gone. Dusk to dawn. Isn't that the way? Everybody's got the dues in life to pay. Yeah. Sing with me, sing for the year, sing for the laugh and sing for the tear. Sing with me, it's just for today, never tomorrow. The good Lord will take you away. Half my life's in books, written pages, live and learn from fools and from sages. You know it's true. All the things come back to you.
spending a week at number 40 on its way up to number 6 the second time around. That was Aerosmith with the single version of Dream On, a song built around chords that Steven Tyler remembered his father playing. Incidentally, I apologize for the worn-out condition of the 45. I wonder how that happened.
Alt-Universe Top 40.
Several months ago, we played the song Starry Eyes by The Records, mentioning that it would be practically impossible to find a catchier chorus than the one that John Wicks and Will Birch wrote for that single. And I studied every second of that song back when I was 16 years old. One day, after playing along with the Starry Eyes 45 with my turntable set on repeat, it hit me that since this group had come up with that amazing song, they might just have another one. At the time, I had never seen their album yet, so the only place I could hear another one of their songs was to flip that record over. I can specifically recall hearing the flip side and being blown away by a song that, in my own world, would almost become as important as the A-side. And it blew me away all over again when, a few years later, The Trend shared a bill with The Records and a couple of other bands at the Hollywood Rock Club known as Jack's Sugar Shack. When we heard them play it live, I suddenly became 16 years old all over again. At the very least, reached number 20 on the Billboard, Cashbox, and Record World charts. Those were The Records and the flip side of their Starry Eyes single, Paint Her Face.
This one went to 11.
My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. At number 11, we have a song by an artist who, like Steven Tyler of Aerosmith, had a parent that was classically trained. In the case of Dan Fogelberg, it was his mother that was a classically trained pianist. Fogelberg's father was also an accomplished musician, a band director, who did not always understand Fogelberg's music, but who supported his efforts nonetheless. From a young age, it was obvious to Dan that he was headed for a life in music. After leaving the Peoria, Illinois area where he grew up, Fogelberg first went to Nashville and recorded an album that was not successful, at least not at first. After being on the road to promote that album, he hooked up with musician Joe Walsh, who produced his album Souvenirs, which was far more successful and remains a Fogelberg fan favorite to this day. By the time he released his sixth album, Phoenix, he was headlining shows and making the charts with every release. Album stations like WSHE in Fort Lauderdale and KZOK in Seattle gave lots of early airplay to the Phoenix album, helping it reach number 11 on the Record World Rock Radio Airplay charts.
Risk.
with an amazing solo by his one-time producer, Joe Walsh. That was Dan Fogelberg at number 11 with the album Phoenix, and a track from it that received lots of album rock airplay, Face the Fire. Several weeks back, I played the song End of the Line by BTO and recalled that a disc jockey from WLVS in Memphis many years ago had fooled his listeners by playing the track and then having callers attempt to identify the artist. You might recall that my first incorrect guess was the Hudson Brothers. And based on the sound of that record and the sound of the several Hudson Brothers albums I own, it is still hard for me to believe that End of the Line was BTO and not Bill, Mark, and Brett Hudson. The Hudson Brothers started their band in their hometown of Portland, Oregon, cultivating a following by playing at outdoor festivals and car dealerships. Called the New Yorkers at the time, they released a few singles on the Scepter label. Later, they recorded a single for Warner and a Nielsen cover for Decca. While at Decca, they changed their name to Everyday Hudson. Eventually, they came to the attention of Elton John's executives at the Rocket Record Company. Their first album for Rocket, Totally Out of Control, was released as the Hudson Brothers and featured several songs that were very much in the Beatles or Badfinger vein. Even though it was a solid album from beginning to end, it was not a big seller. The brothers left Rocket and went to Neil Bogart's newly established Casablanca label, where they released the album Hollywood Situation. From that album came a top 40 hit that we will certainly play someday, So You Are a Star, and this track, a song called Three of Us, that they played on their Razzle Dazzle TV hour several times. And I cannot be sure, but I do believe that this track was even used as bumper music during some of the WGN Chicago Cubs baseball broadcast back in the days of Harry Carey.
We've traveled the high road, but we've seen the low road. We've been up and down, but we've been there together.
That should have been released as a single and should have reached number 10. Those were the Hudson Brothers from their Casablanca album Hollywood Situation and the track Three of Us.
Number 9, Number nine.
At number nine, we have an album track that was released as a single in the United States, but it did not make the top 40 of the Billboard, Cashbox, or Record World charts. It did, however, receive just enough airplay to push the chart positions for the album that contained it, Regatta de Blanc, up to number 25 on the Billboard album chart and into the number 9 position on the Record World album airplay charts. Of all the American radio stations that gave this song early spins, it was WCOZ in Boston that first ranked it within its radio station top 10 at number 9. Here is that part reggae, part punk, part new wave, part rock act made up of Sting, Stuart Copeland, and Andy Summers, The Police, and Message in a Bottle.
Just the
number 1 on the British charts, but peaked at number 74 on the Billboard Hot 100 in the United States. That was the three-man group The Police and Message in a Bottle, an album track that reached number 9 on the WCOZ album track airplay reports in Record
All
World.
Universe Top 40!
Reached number 8.
Now we are up to a song that is both modern and great, and it should have reached number 8. It is by a 5-man Buffalo, New York band known as Mo. And the name Mo, spelled M-O-E, is in all lowercase letters with a period at the end in order to differentiate them from a couple of other artists who use or have used that same name. Guitarist Al Schneier described Moe's music as follows, quote, "It's an amalgamation of a wide variety of the history of rock, all regurgitated and recycled through the eyes, ears, hands, whatever, of the guys in our band, and all of that with a sense of adventure, a sense of humor, and also a constant desire to push the envelope," close quote. Back in 2000, Moe recorded their album Dither, which contained a track called New York City. It was not released as a single, and of course it did not chart on any of the singles charts at the time. But that doesn't stop us from believing that it should have been a number 8 single. Here is Moe with New York City.
One eyed man with a scar on his face and a peg leg drives his cab 50 miles per hour down Broadway. Looks at me with his crooked smile while Gershwin plays. Hits his brakes and points at the freaks on St. Mark's Place. About summer Sundays and the roller skates. Afro wigs and rainbow socks flow past like a ballet. Peanut roast is popping up on every corner. Can't you taste that taste? Makes me long for an early morning ride on the subway. Steal a line, a old phrase, a record company will cheer. Sign you up, make you an artist, make you a millionaire. Shake your hand, pat your back, give you a big white smile. Then they'll say that they're your biggest fans, say they love your style. It's a cab ride at 5 a.m. Manhattan got us with your Levi's and curls. New York City, I'm coming home again.
With a song that was both modern and great and should have reached number 8, that was the modern day jam band known as Moe and a track from their album Dither, New York City.
All Universe Top 40.
Now we are up to our little slice of heaven at number 7. While we have played lots of blues, a little jazz, and some swing in this slot up to this point, we have not really started unearthing any true rockabilly classics to study. But today, we indeed have one by Connie Dykus, a male rockabilly singer born in Dyersburg, Tennessee, on December 6, 1930. After growing up in Arkansas and serving briefly in the Korean War, Connie got a job in the auto industry in Flint, Michigan. He continued to play music whenever he could and finally caught a break when manager Jim Miner signed him to a deal and began promoting him along with female country act Veda Bell. One of Connie's friends in the rockabilly music scene was a young vocalist named Narvel Feltz, who hailed from Malden, Missouri. One of Narvel's former bandmates, Jerry Tuttle, had started writing songs for other artists and was pitching them in Memphis and Nashville. Jerry Tuttle's song, I Know, found its way to Connie Dykus and was recorded in Nashville's Studio B and released on Colt Records. While it was a big regional success in and around the Memphis area, it did not make the top 40 on any of the three big national charts. They tried again with another Jerry Tuttle song called I'll Be Untrue, released on King Records. This one, like the other, received lots of airplay on those fast-paced AM radio stations that leaned in the rockabilly direction back in the day, but it never quite made it over the hump enough in the pop world to hit the Billboard or Cashbox top 40. Connie still toured to promote his records, but he had to go back to his regular job in Michigan, at least for a while. Then he became a DJ at country music station WMRP, which led to his being the host of a country music television show in Flint, Michigan in the mid-60s. He became quite well known in that area, but sadly never had the national rockabilly hit that we think he deserved. Connie Dykus died on January 2, 1978, and was buried in Searcy, Arkansas. Our little slice of heaven today belongs to him.
Well, I hold your hand, and I feel no shame, though I wear another's ring, cause your love is warm like a love I've never known, and I'll be untrue to be with.
Slice of Heaven at number 7. That was Connie Dykus with I'll Be Untrue, a song written by a fellow that I would get to know many years later, the late Jerry Tuttle. Since our last broadcast, we have received messages from all around the world. Finn from Austria sent us a message on Mixcloud. He says, hey, how are things? He also sends greetings from his homeland. Well, Finn, things are great. We hope they are with you as well. Frank from Italy also sent us a message on Mixcloud. He liked the mono mix of our show from last week and says that he will check out a show in the future. Frank, we are thrilled that you liked the mono mix. We put both mono and stereo on Mixcloud because some listeners are shortwave or AM purists and they like their radio in mono. Some never heard either shortwave or AM and lived with FM stereo, satellite radio, or streaming, which is all in stereo. We send you our best greetings in return and are happy that you have found us. Priya from Canada sent us an email. She says, hello, and she hopes we are having fun putting the show together. Well, Priya, we certainly are. We hope you are having fun in your world and that maybe listening to us is fun for you in some way. Can you hear us? If you can, please send your questions, comments, and reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. We would love to hear from you.
This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 6.
Now we are up to our bonus hit at number 6, awarded to an act that has placed at least 6 albums into the top 40 of the album charts. This legendary guitarist has certainly done that. While Eric Clapton has had lots of success on the album charts, early on in his career, his singles were somewhat hit and miss. Take this song, for example. As an album track from his self-titled debut solo album, it was played on FM stations all over the United States, but it performed sluggishly on the Billboard Hot 100, only making it up to number 48. Nevertheless, over time, the song has remained a critic's favorite. Rock writer Matthew Greenwald stated that the song is, quote, led by a striking electric guitar riff, with the melody being woven elegantly around the simple, almost folk-like chord changes, close quote.
The rain is falling through the mist of sorrow that surrounded me. The sun
bonus hit at number 6. That was Eric Clapton with a song he wrote with Bonnie Bramlett and produced with Delaney Bramlett, Let It Rain.
Number 5.
My name is John McMullen and this is Alt Universe Top 40. At number 5, we have a song that was released on October 31st, 2002. Halloween. It is an album track by 8-time Grammy winner Buddy Guy, whose entire acceptance speech upon his induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was, quote, "If you don't think you have the blues, just keep living," close quote.
She don't want me to smoke. She don't want me to pray. Girl don't want me to talk. She don't want me to think. She don't like for me to party. She don't like none of my friends. She said the minute her back is turned, out there doing it again. She said, one day, man, you're gonna go too far. Nobody understands me but my guitar. No kid, 'cause I don't punch no clock the way that my daddy did. I don't take out no garbage. Now I hang out with the trash. The only thing she like about me is the color of my cash. Said one day, man, you're gonna go too far. Nobody understands me but my guitar.
Song at number 5 that was recorded in Memphis and written by the ever-present Jack Holder. That was Letsworth, Louisiana native Buddy Guy and Nobody Understands Me But My Guitar.
Alt-Universe Top 40.
Number 4. Now we are up to number 4, which usually means that we are going to play a song that did considerably better in England than it did in the United States. However, this week we have a single that charted better in the Netherlands than it did in the United States, twice. Both times that it was released, first in 1979, when it was a brand new song and hit number 4 in the Netherlands, and also in 1991, when it was re-released as a CD single and hit number 1 there. In the United States, its peak position was number 15. For me personally, I remember the very first time that I heard this synthesizer solo late at night on the radio. I went out and bought it the very next day and then worked and worked and worked to try to achieve that sound on my aunt's Baldwin church organ. While the effort was well intended, I never did quite get it.
Doing all right. Smile for the people she meets on trouble and strife.
At number four, that was Sniffin' the Tears, with a song that contains one of the greatest synthesizer solos of all time, Driver's Seat.
Making changes that time and taste demand. This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number three.
Now we are up to our three from way downtown, and today we're talking about downtown Long Beach, California. Lisa Michaels is an act that we have already played on the show several months ago. Her song, if you recall, was He's Got Me Dreaming, which did not chart, but certainly should have. Back in February, we also played a track by a band that Lisa used to lead, New Shoe, and their cover of the Cars hit, My Best Friend's Girl. Today, we have another incredible cover by Lisa, one which has been played by disc jockey Michael McCartney on his Time Machine radio show on KONI in Hawaii. It won't take long to recognize this song, but just listen to how much joy Lisa Michaels puts into her new version.
Just got back from Illinois.
Was Lisa Michaels and her cover of the Creedence Clearwater Revival hit, Looking Out My Back Door. And don't be surprised if we play something by her newest band, the 7 and 6, within the next couple of months.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 2.
Now we are up to number 2, which means that we are going to play a song that we think should have hit number 1. And it is by an act that during one 14-month period between October 1966 and December 1967 reached number 1 7 times, 3 times on the singles chart and 4 times on the album chart. No, we are not talking about the Beatles, or the Rolling Stones, or the Beach Boys. This particular group's members admired the Beatles and attempted to make it clear to the press that they never thought of themselves as true musical competitors with them. These four guys that made up this group started out by being cast by two Columbia Screen Gems television producers to play a rock band in a TV show, just as Jim Nabors was cast to play a goofball Marine in Gomer Pyle. Obviously, we are referring to the Monkees. In an earlier episode, we discussed the huge gamble taken by the Monkees in order to gain greater control over the recordings released in their name. By the time they recorded their fourth album, the Monkees had gone from playing nothing on their records to releasing a number one album where they played practically every sound. For their fourth album, they took a hybrid approach, with all four members playing or singing on every track, but augmenting that sound with some studio players with whom they had become friendly. This track is a perfect example of that approach. The drums were not played by Mickey Dolenz, but rather by Eddie Ho, and the bass was handled by producer Chip Douglas. Nesmith and Torque played the country rock guitars, while Nesmith took the lead vocal. Friend Douglas Dillard played banjo, and Dolenz and Jones provided some very appropriate background vocals. While the song sounds exactly like the kind of song that Mike Nesmith wrote at the time, it was actually written by his friend from his pre-Monkey days and Cold Jim's label mate, Michael Murphy, who would later go on to have a major hit with the song Wildfire. And while the Cold Jim's label at the time only released Monkey's singles featuring either Mickey or Davey on lead vocals, this one with Mike singing lead should have been released at the end of 1967. It would have certainly topped the charts, especially as many times as it was played on their TV show.
Just a loudmouth Yankee, I went down to Mexico. I didn't have much time to spend, about a week or so. Of a girl who loved me so. But I found myself thinking when the time had come to go. What am I doing hanging around? I should be on that train and gone. I should be riding on that train to San Antonio. What am I doing hanging around? She took me to the garden just for a little walk. I didn't know much Spanish and there was no time for talk. Then she told me that she loved me not with words but with a kiss. And like a fool I kept on thinking of a train. And if I get the money, well, I'll ride the same old train. But I guess your chances come but once, and boy, I sure missed mine. And still I can't stop thinking when I hear some whistle.
Number one album, Pisces, Aquarius, Capricorn, and Jones. Those were the Monkees, and a song that should have been released as a single and would have certainly hit number one. What Am I Doing Hanging Round? Now we are up to our Hall of Perfection track at number one, and it is a song by one of the greatest Motown artists ever, Stevie Wonder. It hit number one on the major pop charts and soul charts back in 1973. It is odd, though, that such a memorable Stevie Wonder single only came about because Stevie had agreed to write a song for the legendary British guitarist Jeff Beck. When Stevie and Jeff Beck were jamming one day, Jeff asked Stevie for a song. Stevie agreed and improvised a funky little riff on the clavinet, an electronic keyboard instrument that sounds like a cross between an electric piano and a synthesizer. After spending just a few minutes to get the riff down, Stevie then recorded a bass line, also using a keyboard. Jeff Beck loved the song and promised to record it. However, after finishing what he had started for Jeff, Stevie decided that he would also like to do it. It was Stevie's version that became the hit, but that did not diminish the friendship between Stevie and Jeff Beck.
Very superstitious.
with our Hall of Perfection track at number one. That was Stevie Wonder and Superstition, a single that, with all its warnings about bad luck and curses, literally and unbelievably stayed in the Billboard Top 40 for exactly 13 weeks. Well, that's all we have for today. Please be sure to join us next week for another installment of Alt Universe Top 40. In the meantime, to check out our older episodes, simply download the Mixcloud app and follow Alt Universe Top 40. Also, you can follow the links on our website at www.altuniversetop40.com. As we mentioned before, we would love to hear from you. Please send your questions, comments, or reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. For our website and email addresses, those are all lowercase and 40 is a number. Until we meet again, keep making those good-hearted changes that time and taste demand, and keep on smiling through the static.